Lord, for letting us be here in this house again. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful I had a place to go to since I was a little boy. And may have been in different locations, but it's always been the house of God. And as my brother was standing and preaching all those years, it was the house of God wherever we met at, whether it be here or over there in the little place and off 279 or back down at the church in Riverdale or the place in Hateful or in his house. It's the house of God. And that's where the early church met. They met in their houses. And the Jews met in their synagogues. They were still most unsaved and didn't really understand about the first day of the week, the Lord getting up from the dead, didn't believe, most didn't believe that He was the Messiah, the Christ that was to come. Well, I'm thankful that I had a teacher from the time I was little. And my brother was talking about that the other night, that my mother, when he seen the Lord in her, and it come to my mind as he was saying that, yep, when he was little, he seen the Lord in her, and my brothers did, and then 23 years later, after he was born, I was born, and I still seen the Lord in her when I was young. And that's what it takes to get somebody saved. It takes stability, and it takes somebody to live it. Our lives are living epistles known and read of all men. And I was thinking back to the way my dad, and he was a good man, and he took care of me, my brothers, and me when I was little. But I know when I was, before he got saved, when we were on Lounge Street, he drank, smoked, cussed, all types of worldly things and whatever else he done. But I know how he spoke to my mother and thought about how the conviction was upon his heart. He was there most of the time with her, and that heavy conviction upon him caused him to speak out and say things I know he did not mean. And the reason why I know that is because when he got saved, he was a different person. And I never heard him talk like that to her anymore. In fact, when I would joke around and kid with her, and I did a lot of that, and sometimes he thought I was serious, and he fussed at me about it. He said, boy, don't you talk to your mama like that. And I'd never heard that before. He had never said that to me. And when you get saved and born again, it makes a difference in your life. It does something for you. It just isn't a lip service and a head knowledge and an emotional experience, but this is something that gets alive in your heart. And I know when I was younger, I got out. I can't remember exactly my age, 15 or so, and started going off over my one of my friend's house, and then he lived right near a church, and I went to the church with them. I didn't go to the church up there with my mom and dad, but just a few times, but I went to the church with them, him and another fella, and I got counterfeited there. And even though me being aware of real salvation, seeing it in her, seeing it in him then, I knew that there was a difference, and it did something to my heart, and I could feel the difference. I could sense it. And I've been around my brother, my sister-in-laws, and others in the family, church that I've seen, did something to my heart, and I knew the reality of salvation. And the school I went to, the elementary school I went to, they were supposed to be Christians, but I didn't see what I saw in my family, the ones that were saved. I didn't see that in others and them and other people. But we know when we pass from death into life, He gives us love for the brethren. And I love my family. But when I got saved and born again, I loved the brethren. I loved the church instantly. When I got up off my knees, the greatest thing that ever happened to me that night on King Road in Riverdale. And I was a different person. I wasn't the same man anymore. And I had changed on the inside. And it wasn't something that I did. This was an operation of faith that God did. And I poured out my heart. I brought what He required, and that was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that's all He wanted out of me. It wasn't some type of bringing in of offering up of what I've done or what I think I've done or anything else we can offer up. But that night, God gave me a personal invitation. He had been dealing with me for months, for years. But until I started listening and paying attention, he didn't deal with me that strongly. But when things happened in my life and I was beat down and in my mind I was really distressed, and mine wasn't physical, but mine was mental. And God also let me realize that I was going to die and go to hell. And I was very strong. It was every day. And it scared me. And then finally I got back into a job. I got back into the church. Because I said, if you did, I'm going back to church. And I wasn't trying to bargain. I meant what I said. I wanted out of the mess I was in. I needed help. And I got back in and I started listening and paying attention. And then God gave me a personal invitation after those months. And my heart was broke. It was crushed. And my brother, as he stood and preached, he preached about the rich man and dying in hell. He lifted up his eyes. My heart was already broke. I was already ripe for the plucking. My heart was crushed, and I had no reservations anymore about what anybody thought about me. The devil worked on my mind for years about what people's going to think about you. You go down that altar, they're gonna think this and that about you. And I didn't care anymore. And I wasn't worried about what was going on around me, about anything else. My heart and my soul was crushed. And I went down the altar and I just poured out my heart. And I didn't say nothing out loud, but I said, God, have mercy on me. And I prayed the prayer of repentance. I turned, willing to turn from everything. And I felt it when He came into my heart. And I got up a brand new man. And I haven't been the same since. And there's some here and among here and some that ain't here that I believe have been counterfeited. And I'm not trying to be critical and I'm not trying to be ugly. But I want to help you, and I want to help them, and I don't want to see them hell. God's laid some on my heart. I've been praying for months now. He spoke to me about it. Some have been sick, and they had problems and troubles. God's helped them and given them another opportunity, and I don't want them to die without Him. I want them to be saved. And counterfeit is one of the strongest things religion is that the devil has. A preacher can't tell you that you're saved. He can't speak to you and say this little prayer after me or tell you that you're okay or anything else like that that's going to get you into heaven. This is a work of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And God has to do this. And salvation is of the Lord. And I'm looking for you to be saved. I'm looking for you to be born again. You need to make a calling and election sure. You need to make sure that what you're trusting in is real. And God has done something for you, because I know when I was on my knees, and I'm not boasting on myself, I got nothing to boast on. I felt it when He came into my heart. I knew I had changed. I knew something was different. All the world that was in me before, that heaviness, all the sin, and my conscience was marred, and it was heavy on me. That's why Jesus said, "All you that labor and the heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I was heavy. But I know when He came into my heart, all that burden of sin lifted up. And I wasn't the same person anymore. I was a different creature. And all those things that I'd been engaged in the past were gone. And I went and made some apologies. I wasn't proud and my mind lifted up anymore. I went and apologized to some people for the way I acted and for the way I did. One of the first ones was my mother. And then when I got with my brother, I wanted to apologize to him and tell him, "I'm sorry for the way I've acted." And when He puts love in your heart, ain't nothing else matter. You want to help people. You want to see people get saved. You want to see them born again. And there's fruits of the Spirit when the love of God comes in your heart. And you want to help them. And you want to see souls saved. And you don't mind doing what you need to do to get out there and get them to the Lord. But I appreciate what God's done for me and saving me and making me a new person. And I'm telling you, I'm not worthy to stand up here tonight. I don't feel myself worthy. I never do. And I was reading this past week to about Saul. I don't want to ever get in that kind of condition where he, at a certain age when he was young, he was very shy. He was head and shoulders above all the people in the land, the Bible said. But yet he was very meek and lowly, and he told him when God told him to do a certain thing and he didn't do it, he told him to go down and do what he needed to do to these Amalekites, these people in the land. And God wasn't against them, but they had given themselves over completely to sin, and God was going to destroy them. He said, you go in there and you destroy all these people, everything they have, the young, the old, the children, the women, and all their cattle and everything else, and you utterly destroy it. But he listened to the people. He brought back of the lambs, and he said, the people wanted this, that sacrifice to the Lord. Did I not do what I was supposed to do? And then he brought back the king. I believe his name was Agag. Brought him back, didn't slay him like God told him to do. And God had to tell him. He said, when you were young, were you not little in your own sight? And you were meek, and I set you up over the kingdom. And now here you are. You're not listening to what I'm telling you. And I don't want to get in that kind of state. I want to hear what God has to say to me. I know I'm full of holes, and I know I'm just a big nothing. And I don't ever claim myself to be anything. But I want to hear what God has to say to me, because I want to see souls saved. I want to see them run to the Lord. I have nothing in my heart against anybody. My heart is, as far as the Lord's in there, that it's perfected. But as far as my conscience is concerned, my heart is clean. I've asked the Lord many times over the past year to cleanse me and wash me. I don't want nothing like that in my heart. I don't want no kind of ought in my heart against nobody. And there were people that were that did things and said things. I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about others that were out, that this unsaved people that had done things and said things. And it made me mad, because of the, you'd have to know what happened. But I didn't say anything to them. But the things I heard about, it was in my heart. And God told me to let it go and pray for them. And that's what I've been doing. And like I told you before, the little girl that was at Sarah's school when she was younger tormented her and her friends, and she was constantly saying things, and it made me upset. But I went up to the school, I don't know how many times, about her, and nothing ever seemed to work. And I was driving one day, and God told me in my heart, it was just plain as day, he said, why are you so mad? And he said, pray for her. And that's what I started doing. And I started praying from that day. And it wasn't, I don't think it was a year. It may not even have been 6 to 8 months. But I asked Sarah, because I hadn't heard anything. And the little girl had turned, God had turned everything around. I don't know, I don't think she got saved, but I'm still praying for her. And she started applying herself. She was making straight A's in school, and doing everything she needed to do. And then when I heard that, it broke my heart. The Lord said, see, you pray. And you don't get mad at them, you pray for them. And I know that sometimes the other things I'm talking about, and I was upset, but I know the Lord took care of those two. And one, I told you before, about things, and that wasn't none of my business, but I heard about it. And I wasn't praying, but God put him on my heart, and I started praying. And I met him out somewhere. He never would speak to me before. But I hadn't been praying but about a month, maybe two, that God put him on my heart. When I met him, he was just like a friend. Come up, started speaking to me, and I was sort of shocked. And he's still in my prayers. But I know the Lord saves by many or by few. His arm's not shortened. He saves to the uttermost. When he did, he saved me. He got me out at the uttermost. And I've told you before, if there was anybody that was a sinner, that was me. And especially all the things that I'd learned, all the things I knew better about. And God spoke to me about even being unsaved. And my mother correcting me, and got out right on out into them anyway, and run like a fool. And I could have died, but because of prayer, God dealt with me and put me in a place where I could hear His Word and where I would listen. And save me despite myself. But I appreciate what He's done for me. I can never get over this. I'm looking forward to Him to coming back and get me one day after a little while. And I'm going to see Him for myself, like Job said, and Jacob, and not another. I'm going to see Him for myself. I'm going to stand before my Redeemer, my Maker. But it's not going to be, like my brother always preaches, it's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be payday. And we're going to give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And I'm not looking forward to that time, but I am looking forward to seeing Him for myself. And living for eternity. I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones that's already gone on, and others, and these men in the Bible, and women in the Bible, and it's going to be a wonderful time in heaven. But I was reading, and over in the book of Romans, chapter 6, last part of 6, the Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he said, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he lives." As long as you live, the law's got a dominion over you. Unsaved, you're under the law. You're under a curse, and it's got dominion over a man. And we're under the dominion of laws as far as the laws of the land, and we're to obey laws. He said, "But for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. And once her husband dies, she's married to him. God's law said you to take one another until death do you part." And the Lord said, "But except for the cause of fornication." And he wrote the law, so he said that in the New Testament. And he said, "So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. She is no more an adulteress, though she be married to another man." So when her husband died, she's free to marry another man, and she's out from under that law. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." He's saying that when you get saved, you get born again by the body of Christ. He died for sin. And when we get saved, we're baptized with him into his body. And we're a new creature. We're married to another. We're married to him now. We're no longer under sin. We're no longer under the law. We're still in this flesh. It's still full of sin and still capable of doing anything and everything. And if you think today that you're above it or beyond anything anybody else is doing in this world, then you need to think again, because we're capable of doing anything in this body. It's filthy, it's vile, it's wicked. This flesh is altogether vanity. I was thinking about that, and I told the Lord, I appreciate the body that he gave me. Up to now, I've not had sickness or anything in it, and I appreciate what he's done for it. But as far as this flesh is concerned, the spirit of the flesh, there's a lust there. The Bible talks about the spirit of the flesh lusteth, the envy. It can never be satisfied. There's always a constant warfare going on. It's always wanting and wanting. It's never happy. It's never satisfied. It's lusting after things of the world. He said, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin," when you're in the flesh, you're unsaved, there's motions of sin there, this movement which was by the law. The law brought that, made that awareness to the person. It makes you aware of your sin. "It did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, and held under the law, and until that which should come after, till faith should come." It talks about, I was reading this, brought me over into the book of Galatians. This goes right along with that. Paul was talking about that too. He said that before faith came, but the Scripture had concluded all unto sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should be revealed afterwards. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we should might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And you listen to the radio, and there's a lot more of them these days than I'm hearing this preaching about the law. I mean, they always have been, but I've been heard a lot more on a certain station, and that's what they're trying to preach. But they don't understand the Scriptures. Neither have they been saved and born again, because they can't believe that the law gets them to heaven and have their sins forgiven. It's only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no way into heaven outside of him. And when you get born again, you know that. And that's what the Scriptures, all the Scriptures are written about, that he was the Word and the made in flesh, the express image of God. And that's why he came down to die for us, that we might have a way made back to the Father. He said, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? He said, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. Sin was not done away with. The law was not done away with. The law is perfect and pure and holy. And it did exactly what God set it out to do. God gave the law to let us see ourselves. It lets you see yourself, like Paul talks on here. He said, I had not known that I was doing, that I was taking part in covetousness, except the law had said that against it. He talks about that here. But that's what the law was given for, to let you see yourself as a sinner, exceedingly sinful. There's no doubt, there's no other way around it if you listen to what your conscience is saying. That's what the law was given, to speak to you, to your conscience, and to let you see yourself when you listen. Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, all manner of fleshly lust. It showed me, it took occasion by this commandment. It took an opportunity. The commandment showed me that there was all types of fleshly lust in this old flesh. For without the law, sin was dead. There was no movement there. Like he said up above here, there was motion in the flesh, but there was no motions here without the law. I couldn't see it clearly, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived. It brought an awareness to me. And that's what sin does. And that's what the devil's out to do. He's out to kill you. And that's what sin does. It wages a war on you. And it's out to kill you. And he's deceive you. And eventually kill you. He said, but when the commandment came, sin revived. It was made aware to me. And then I knew I was a dead man. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And the Bible talks about that. I thought on this and talks about it over in the book of Galatians. And it may be that when God talked to Moses, he said, I'm going to send you in. He said, you talk to the children of Israel, tell them I'm sending in the land, and I'm going to, I want you to not take to you the all the laws and the statutes, ordinances of the Egyptians. Don't take them with you. And when you get into the land, don't partake of theirs. Stay away from this. He said, you do my commandments and my statutes, and the man that doeth them shall live in them. And that's not eternal life. But you can have life. You can live. The law, if you kill a person, it says kill. By that man, you're going to die. If it's intentional, you kill somebody. And eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But in this case, the Bible talks about, I believe that's what he was saying, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And for sin taking occasion by the commandment, it took an occasion by the commandment. It deceived me. It slew me. And wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. God's laws are pure and perfect, and they did exactly what God ordained them to do. And that was to point us to Christ. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And that's how I seen myself, by listening to God's word. I knew by hearing that I was exceedingly sinful and I was a sinner. All these things I was partaking of because God spoke to my conscience through His word. And I knew something was wrong in my heart, in my life. But I was a sinner and I was going to die. And God made that known to my heart. And when I paid attention to that and took heed to it and sought Him with a whole heart, and it was by faith that I repented. I brought a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and when you're broken contrite, you will repent. You will repent when you're with godly sorrow. And that it ain't just bringing down, like the Bible said, that the sorrow of the world brings forth death. And I know a lot of people that have went through that, and they've had emotional experiences, and they were sorrowful that sin had caught up with them, and different things going on in their lives, and they gave a little prayer, and all the fellas I went to church with over there, they did the same thing I did, and yet they did not ever get their sins forgiven. I didn't either at that time, and I know one of them is still, he's one of my good friends, and I'm still praying for him, But I'm pretty confident he didn't get saved. I went and seen him not too long ago. He found me and called me. I'd been looking for him, and God brought him to my mind. And after all these years, and a week later, I got an email from him. And I know who that was. And he asked if it was me, and I said, it sure is. And we met him for lunch. And he teaches Sunday school, and his wife, but yet they never had a personal experience in grace. They're still up at a church that was not too far from our house. And I'm praying for him. But just a mouth confession and a lip service doesn't get you to heaven. You got to be born again. You got to be remorse about your sin. You got to be broken, contrite that you sinned against God. And I never was really broke until God broke me. Until He prayer caught up with me and He made me aware of what I was, and fully aware, and started dealing with me in a way that I got in that condition. And only the Word of God can do that. I mean, I was running out full force, and I thought I was having a good time. I was engaging in everything that my buddies would drag me to, and a lot of it my own ideas, and time after time, night after night, weekend after weekend, one thing after another. And it was a pleasure sin for a season, but I wasn't happy on the inside. I was empty, and that's why I kept going back and again and again and again. But I'm glad that the Lord had mercy. And I was thinking about the Good Samaritan. And the little fellow went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. And they beat him half to death and stole everything he had and left him laying there. And then here comes the priest, which represented religion. And just by chance, he wasn't having no meaning and purpose. There was no purpose in his life. But he came by. And he seen him, and he walked on the other side of the road. And then here come the law, the Levite, and the same thing. No meaning and purpose, just happened to be going that way. And he seen him, walked by on the other side of the road. But then the good Samaritan came, and came and took him. And he was on a journey, and came and put him up on his own beast, and patched up his wounds, and poured him the oil and the wine, and carried him to the inn, and nursed him back to health, and told him, I'm going to leave him here. If there's anything more I owe for him, I'll pay it. And that's what the Lord done for me. He patched me up, paid me my debt in full, and takes care of me all the time. And I appreciate a loving Savior that has cared for me all these years when I didn't deserve anything. If I got what I deserved, even after I've been saved, I would still go to hell because I don't deserve it. This old flesh stinks and it's rotten. I love Him. But because He loved me, He saved me, made me His own, purchased me with His own blood, and I appreciate what He's done for me. But you got to have your sins forgiven. And I'm glad He did. He went by my way. He went by Legion's way. He had a purpose. He went over the sea there, and He got off the boat for that one purpose. And here comes a little man. And he was full of demons, couldn't help himself, and he was just tormented day and night, cut himself out in the tombs, lived everywhere, no clothes. They bound him multiple times with chains and fetters. And this little man would bust him. He was so fierce, the demons in him, he'd bust him. And they couldn't hold him. And he was crying out, cutting himself, wanting to die. And then finally the Savior spared him and come by his way, come across the sea just to see him. He got off the boat, and Legion ran to him and got down. And he said, asked him his name. And he told him, he said, Legion, for we are many. And he gave the demons leave. And then when he did, Legion got his sins forgiven. And he got down at the Lord's feet, got him some clothes on. And he was sitting there in his right mind. And the people got scared and bid the Lord to leave. But that's why he came over. And like Brother Stacy prayed in his prayer, the little lady at the well, that's why he must needs go through Samaria. He went by that way for this little lady. And he does that for anybody that's real about themselves. And I was real. I was genuine in what I felt. I wasn't before. I went to church. And I went with my mother. I went those churches. I wasn't genuine. I wasn't wanting to get saved. Like the little boy told me, the little fella at the home. He come out and it about broke my heart. he brought him out, and the little, the guy that run, one of the fellows that attends the place, he said, come on, come to church. I said, yeah, come on in, man, sit down. And he said, I don't want to get saved. And I said, that's all right. And I said, you don't have to get saved right now. I said, that's the Lord ain't going to force Himself on you. I said, you come on in and sit down and listen, and then you'll know when God deals with you, you'll know what to do. And he did. He come right on in and sat down. He started coming after that. And I know, I thank God that I didn't want to get saved either. But he still dealt with me and let me see myself. And then when I really wanted salvation, when I was really sick of myself and tired of sin, not just trying to say a few words and make things better for myself. That's what I did before. I repeated and said and did, and they put me on the church roll and baptized me and put me down in the water and back behind the church, and I wasn't any better. Like Brother Olaf said, I wasn't any better. I was still beat down and heavy in sin. I was still heavy inside my soul and guilty. And but when God saved me, He made that change Himself. It wasn't anything that I did except a broken heart. He did the transaction. He did the operation of faith on my heart, cut out that old heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh, and made me a brand new man. And He will for you too today. And whenever He's speaking to you, now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. You must be born again. You'll not get to heaven. And you are under prayer. And but I'd hate for you to be saved on your deathbed. And there's no guarantee that you won't be. And I'd be afraid if I was you to get out and do the things and get out in the world knowing what I know now. And you got to be born again. He said, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. That's the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And that's what the law was given, to show yourself that you are a sinner. For we know that the law is spiritual. He said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And but for that which I do, he's talking about the flesh and the spirit here. And he said, that which I do, I allow not. He said, what I want to do, my flesh don't want to do. What I don't want to do, that's what the flesh wants to do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, I got a desire to do, and to do what's right. But in my flesh, I can't find a way to do it. There's no way to do good in the flesh. To perform it, there's no way good there. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what the flesh does. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present there with me. And that's a law, that's a constant. I was trying to think on that, and I looked it up in the dictionary about a law. It's a permanent rule, and that's the truth. It's an established rule in this flesh. And in this body, that when you try to do good, evil is there with you. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's what the children of God do. We delight after the law of God in the inward man in our soul. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. And like my brother always preached, he didn't say that I was. He said, O wretched man that I am. And he's talking about his flesh. This Paul laid aside everything, and he brought everything in his mind into captivity and casted it down, that he might be a soul winner and to be a great winner of souls for the Lord. He put everything aside. He counted all things dung, he said, that he might win Christ. Made all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. But he still said, for I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And that's what it is today. If you don't have the overcomer on the inside, you're taken captive by the devil at his will. You live by chance. You don't live by meaning and purpose. And my buddy texted me today. He always does. He was from Microbuilt. He knew me before I got saved. We talked about he was in a band, and he got after he left. He quit before I did. But he got up and went on tour with some pretty big bands as a drummer. But he's out of all that now, as far as I know. I think he still plays some. But he knew me before I got saved. We talked about all that, and he knew me after I got saved. And he still texts me sometime to see how I'm doing, but he also texts me when somebody famous dies. So he texts me about one of my old heroes. That I said, old heroes, not now. Those guys aren't my heroes anymore. I feel sorry for him, and I told him, like I always do, I said, yeah, I hate that he died. I said, I've been praying for him. I've been praying for a lot of those guys and musicians that I used to listen to. I said, I hope he got saved. And he didn't text anything back on that part, but he said, yeah, he fought throat cancer for 20 years. And I didn't know that, but I hope he got saved. I hope he got his sins forgiven. I feel sorry for him. My heart goes out to him. Great talent that they had. They wasted all those years, caught up in all types of sins, had the money to do anything they wanted, everything, any sin that they want, and you can imagine what they do at their fingertips, but yet they're still empty and still void. And if he didn't get his sins forgiven, then he's in hell burning today. And I hope not. There was another fellow that that come to my mind a while back that I used to listen to. He was one of my favorites, and he wrote some songs, and he was a very talented man, very humble, seemed like the way he dealt with people. But he loved music, and his one, I don't think it was money, I think it was more because he loved music. But he was still dead in sin. He was bound up on drugs and booze and women and everything else. And he wrote songs, and he said that in the last one of them, I remember that when I wasn't saved, it said he said existing, only existing. And that's what he was doing. And he's talked about manic depression flooding my soul. I know what I want, but I just don't know how to go about getting it. I'm not trying to quote that garbage, but that's what he wrote. And he was depressed. And he knew what he wanted, but he didn't know how to go about getting it. He needed some peace. And that's what they're looking for. And that's what you're looking for today, too. And if God's dealing with you, you better be thankful you have somebody here at the church praying over and you got a place to come to hear the gospel. Because those guys, I doubt they ever heard any truth. And they jump from one thing to another. And that's with anything, sports players, actors, and just people in general. But it's getting worse. And when I was little, I know my mom, I'd be in the car with her, and she'd have Brother Edgar on and Brother Green. And, of course, we went to my brother's all the time, and she listened. We listened to him live. But others that were on the radio, there was a lot of them on back then. And but as I've gotten older since I got saved, they're dwindling down. They're dead, but a few of them are on. But people aren't getting there. They can't hear anything, any truth. But you're here under the gospel. And you have an opportunity to hear God's word. And don't let it pass you by when God's speaking to you, when He's dealing with your heart, and He lets you see yourself that you need salvation. Do something about it. And this is a mirror that lets you see yourself for what you are. When you get away, I know because I did it myself, God dealt with me. And I'd get out and I would go and I'd forget what manner of person I am. It got my attention when I was hearing it. But when I got back outside the doors and I got back out, well, not too long, I was back out doing the same old things. And then it just got worse and worse. And I could have died. Many times I thought, told you, I don't know how in the world I got home. And I was so drunk, and I don't know how I got home. I was drinking whiskey between me and one guy, splitting I think it's called a fifth, if I remember right, and mixing it with Coke. And I would drive home, and I, Lord help me get home. And plus all the beer I was drinking, everything else for several years there. I mean, just about every night I was drinking. There was a couple of nights I didn't a week, but it was awful. And the Lord spared me. I remember standing out in front of and going home one night, and I guess it was real. I saw a possum, and I had some beer bottles left in the back of my car, and it curved like this, and it was late, but still it was a busy place. And I got out and I stole my beer bottles in out in the middle of the road, and I got back in. I threw three or four at them, stopped, and somebody could have come around the curve and just run right over me and killed me. And drove home in the snow and stuff, and sliding all over the place. And he got me home. And that was because of prayer. That wasn't because of me. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. But I had a mother at home that loved me. And I know it grieved her heart when I was gone. And when I got in at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning in their house, my dad was saved then. So he was trying to do. And doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Just stupidity of the flesh. But once you're dead, it's all over. Your troubles ain't gone. A lot of people think, well, I'll commit suicide and I'll die and I won't have to worry about it. But that's when your troubles just start. Because if you die without the Lord, you'll die and you'll go to hell. You'll wake up in hell just as sure as I'm standing here today. Like Brother Green said, 3 seconds after you die, you'll become a believer. And you'll burn throughout eternity. You know, there's no way out of hell. There's no fire escapes, no exit gates. Like my brother always said, you'll burn and burn and burn and burn. There's no time. There's no time limit. Time is over with. And you'll have a body that should have been made for heaven. And your soul will be there. It don't extinguish out. It lives on. It dies on. That soul will die forever in hell. And I don't want that for you. I'm concerned about you today. And like I said, there's some that God's laid on my heart here that think they're saved. And I'm not trying to be critical and I'm not saying who it is. I'm just saying that God put some that are here and not here. And I want to see them saved. I don't want you dying without Him. And those that are not here, I don't want them dying without Him. You don't have to. And just get past yourself. And when I got past my pride and my ignorance and my stupidity, and I can't say enough about how dumb I was, and I have no reservations about saying that, because that's what I was. I was an idiot. And I appreciate what I heard over the years, and you train a child up in the ways they should go, and when they're older, they'll not depart from it. And I remembered. I still had a fear about me because of all the gospel that I heard. The good word of God brought fear to me and kept me from getting out to where I couldn't get back, even though I went way out, but He still brought me back. And I appreciate a true and a living God. And this ain't some figment of my imagination. This ain't some fable that I followed, like Peter said, but this is true and it's alive. He bears witness to it in my heart when I read, when I study, when I pray, and brings things to my mind. And a lot of times things I hadn't even thought of in a long time come to my mind, and then I turn around and something that situation's there, and not just that, but all types. The communion is what I enjoy, His presence and His fellowship when I'm reading and when I'm praying. And there's nothing else like it in this world. If you're not saved, you're missing out on the good things. And the devil tries to deceive you and tell you what you're missing out on in the world. But I can tell you today, I found that all those things that I ran after, that he lied to me about and made warfare on my soul and on myself with, and deceived me with, that it doesn't even start to compare with salvation. When I got saved and born again, the peace and joy I had in my heart was just wonderful. I can't even start put it into words. When I went back into work the next day, those guys were something else. I love them. I'm still praying for them. And they were characters. And they were wild characters. But when I got into work, I had a different look on my face. I had a smile and I had a song in my heart. And I had a passion inside my soul. I wanted to tell them about what happened to me and what God done for me, and the relief I had when He saved me, all that heavy burden lifted up off of me. And it was just a new life. It was totally different. And today, if you've never experienced that, if you've never come to the place where you've really repented, broken heart and contrite, and know He did something for you, you know it when you pass from death into life. And He puts the love in your heart for the Word. I got my Bible, and when I couldn't carry my Bible somewhere, I took a red Testament I had since I was in elementary school, and I kept it in my pocket. And where I couldn't go take my Bible in, I'd take it in and I'd read it. I kept it in my pocket with me wherever I went. And that was the first thing I did. I wanted to get in this Bible, and I could not get my nose out of it. And I didn't read cover to cover in order, but I read everywhere I could, because what I've been looking for all those years was right here in God's Word. And it was wonderful, and it still is today. I'm not nowhere where I need to be. I don't ever say that. Paul said that he's not attained. I can't even start to say I've even started off the starting line yet. But I'm telling you today, when he changes you, what you've been looking for, he puts in your heart, and he'll make a brand new person out of you. And people won't, they'll know the difference. The guys, all the things that we were talking about before, it stopped. And I told them what happened to me. They didn't bring that around me. And they respected me. I loved them. They knew I loved them. I cared for them. And I had a godly love for them. And they knew it because of the way I spoke to them and the way I dealt with them and talked to them. And I try to do that even still now with the people I work with. I try to, when I go out in the schools, I try to speak to them with courtesy. And I try to speak to them out of a heart of love and respectfully to everybody I come in contact with, not to make myself a name, not to promote my... I told you before, I know people in the system that do that. Oh, they're kind to everybody, but it ain't real. They're doing it for a different reason. I'm not doing mine to make myself a name. I don't care if I get promoted or not. God promoted me when I needed to be, and that's the truth. There's been times and it looked like that I was going to be forced out. But then God turned it all around, because I didn't get ugly. I stood still and I kept quiet and I stood on my ground, and not in a resentful way, but I didn't back down or from God's Word. And he promoted me multiple times. And whatever he has for me, and that's what's good. And when I do it, I'm out there because I want to see them saved, because I want to have an opportunity to tell them about what God's done for me and how he changed me, and that I am born again. There's a little fella that I work with, and he's humble. His wife is very, very humble. She works there too, not in my building, but another. And they say they're saved. They're of a different denomination, but that don't matter. It, what denomination a person is, if they really repent of their sins and call out on God and they get their sins forgiven and they're broken contrite, it don't matter what denomination they're of. He still saved them. But in that denomination, he needs to be in a place where he can hear the truth. And he told me the other day, he said that they're not in that church. They're looking for another church. But right now, they're not going anywhere because of the virus. He's scared to get out. I told him, I said, when this gets better, I said, I want you to come visit with us. And he said, I might do that. But he's a good little fella. And I don't ever want to exalt myself or make myself look good. I want to uplift the name of Jesus and the blood-stained banner. And I want people to see a difference so that I might have an opportunity to tell them what God done for me and why I am like I am. And not saying I'm anything. I'm just saying, trying to help them, and not for any worldly reason. Got a lot of people like that, and you can see that if you just look. And even some that that I didn't think were like that show the signs of that type of thing. And when you look close, Lord knows what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about people at work. But I just want to get clean and close, and I hope y'all pray for me, and pray for, like I mentioned before, all those children in the school system right now. They're at home, and I don't think they're going to be learning anything, because most parents don't care what the children are doing. Even some parents that do care, this type of thing is not easy for their kids. And I know when I'm driving around this county, I see most of them out on the courts and walking the streets. And I think you should be in school, you know. And school is important. They need an education. I want to see everyone of them Do good. And if the Lord's in it, do good. Get you an education. Get you a good job. And I don't want to see you in jail. I don't want to see you killed or hurt. Their souls are just as important as my kids. My brother said that a few years ago, and that hit me in the heart when he was preaching that. And I said, that's exactly right. All their souls are just as important. My kids are important. Believe me, yours too. Everybody in this church, my family. But those little fellas and girls' souls are just as important as mine. God don't have respect to a person. I sure am glad He don't. Jew or Gentile, all can come freely to the water of life. Come get you a drink freely. And I want to take the gospel to them too. A lot of them, when they were in there and I was going through all these years, and a lot of them need attention. They want somebody to speak to them. Some of them have gotten hardened, but a lot of them have just put on a show because they're in with the crowd. But some of them, really, you could look on them and tell them that by looking at them that they need somebody, they need something, and they're lacking. They don't have the authority at home. They don't have nobody to really tell them about the Lord, and that's in just about every case. But they don't have no discipline. They don't have no love. And that's one thing I can say. When I was little, I got about anything I wanted. My daddy gave me whatever I wanted. When I wanted a toy, my mom told me, she said, no, you're not getting another toy. This was every day. She said, you're not getting another toy. I said, Daddy, can I get a toy? He said, woman, you take him tomorrow after school and get him one. This was every day. And I had a lot of toys. But when we moved up to Forsyth, and my dad went blind, and we didn't have a job, he didn't have a job anymore, he had Social Security, I got nothing. And then I know how it is. And that my brother said, that was good for me. And I needed that, and I'm glad. But I can tell you this, I may not have had nothing those years. Nothing hardly for, I don't remember, I remember one thing I got all those years for Christmas. And it was a .22. It was from a pawn shop. But other than that, I don't remember anything else. But I was okay. I had love. I had somebody that loved me. And when my dad got saved, he loved me even more. And I had somebody to tell me about. I wouldn't trade it with nothing. I'd rather live in an orphanage. I'd rather live on the street and hear about the gospel. And somebody bring me the gospel so that I could get my sins forgiven than to live in Evander Holyfield's old house with somebody that don't know the Lord, that never got saved. What few years you have down here don't amount to nothing. And you got to have your sins forgiven. You must be born again. That's the preparation you need to make. You need to prepare to die, not to live. And that's what I was doing. I was preparing to live a life of hell with the devil. And that's what I did. Got out and run like an idiot. But I'm glad that God saw past my ignorance. And that's why I'm saved, because of prayer. My mother, like I wrote, seen her many times down on her knees, the tears on her cheeks, pouring out her heart to God in prayer. Heard her in praying. She prayed out loud a lot most of the time. It wasn't for nobody here. It wasn't nobody there but me, son, and my dad. But she'd shut the door and I could hear her in there praying. And it was fervent and effectual prayers. And God answered those. And the same, like I said, the same time, my brother, when he seen it in her, dealt with them 20-something years later, he dealt with me. And I seen the same thing. Stability. And that's what I want. I want stability. I want to be just like Him at all times. I don't want to be up one day, down the next. I don't want to be a fair-weather Christian. I want every day to be the same. Because He's every day towards me, He's the same. He's given me eternal life, everything that I could want in this life. He's given, and more. I'm just full. And He gave me a house to live in, and I'm not soft those things. I didn't know when I built my house, and you know I built the basement. But to me, when we lived in that little house on Swanson Road, I didn't realize square footage, but it was a little bit bigger than what I thought. But we needed it after a while, which was good. But He gave me a house. I wasn't seeking that. He gave me vehicles to drive these years. He gave me food, clothing, shelter, air conditioning. And that's just, you know, that's just something that he's gave extra. I don't deserve any of it. And gave me a job. But I want to take everything that I have and use it for His glory to win other souls, because that's what He saved me for. And to save me to love Him. And He talked about that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you can't fulfill the law. But those two laws right there, when you get born again, are fulfilled in your heart. And that's why you love other people. That's why you love souls when you get saved. He puts a supernatural love in your heart. I loved my family before I got saved. My mom, my dad, all my nieces and nephews, my brothers. When I moved up there, and I don't want to keep talking, I'm just telling you, when I moved up there, I missed my family. I was up there without anybody. I don't think it was meant to move up there. But I know when it was time to move back, the Lord got my dad's attention. We had a wreck. I thought he was dead. It scared me to death. And then another time, he fell down. He opened a door. It was at that church all the time. And for some reason, well, the Lord did it. He opened a door, thought he was going in another room. And he fell down the stairs. And then one of the fellas at the church, he may have been saved. He was a stout fella. He was right there about two steps down to catch him. If it hadn't been for that, he'd have went all the way down the stairs. But right after that, he said, well, I guess we're going to move down there. And that's as soon as we moved down, God started dealing with me. And that's what he was waiting on. He wanted me to get back into the right church. So I could hear the gospel again. He had already prepared my heart. Things happened. And I was crushed and beat down. And then when I got back in the church, I gave my ears to God. I started listening and paying attention, really focusing in. And then after just a few months, God gave me a place of repentance. And I didn't push it off. I just came down the altar just like I was, plus or minus nothing. I had nothing to offer up. And I just poured out my heart. He saved me. And it's been good ever since. I'm not been what I wanted to be, but He sure has been good to me. He's been everything that I always wanted before I got my sins forgiven. Everything I was looking for, He put in my heart. And it's been good all these years. Would y'all please keep me in prayer? And the kids there and throughout the county, keep them in prayer, please. And there's about, I think, 55,000 kids in our school system. And I don't know, I'm stretching it to say, there may not be hardly 10 of them probably saved throughout the county, if there's that many, because they have nobody to tell them anything. And that's not being critical. That's every county. That's just the way it is, because they have no gospel. But, you know, I appreciate y'all. I love you. Thank you for listening.